So Netflix announced that they're releasing a new movie every week this year. Are you for or against this?
Man, it's a little absurd, but I think I'm for it. Like, why complain about more movies?
That's true. I just feel like a lot of them are going to be bad. I'm just concerned about the hit rate, but more movies is always a good thing.
Yeah. And the hit rate's going to be bad. But, like, Netflix's hit rate's always been bad. But, like, they just, like, that their thing isn't quality, it's quantity, and a few of those things are going to be really good. Hopefully.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, they're, like, there's a lot of, like, famous people who are directing their first movies sort of thing. I mean, it's obviously a mix. There's 52 fucking movies, so...
a lot of fucking movies, dude.
So there's a mix. I'm sure some will be great. I'm sure there'll be like hidden gems.
I feel like they always have two or three really good movies a year.
Mm-hmm. Well, they really let people do their thing.
They do. Yeah, for better or for worse. And sometimes, I feel like most of the time for better.
Yeah, sometimes for better. I was about to say, sometimes it's definitely for worse. Like, what the fuck? What was that movie? It wasn't bad, but I think it was definitely like that dude's movie, and I don't think it was for the better.
Did I see it?
Yes, you did.
If you say Hubie Halloween, I'm going to be pissed off.
No, Hubie Halloween's a flawless masterpiece with no flaws whatsoever. That movie was fucking gold.
Good. That movie was perfect.
No, the guy who did Endless Sunshine...
I don't think I've seen Endless.
Yes, you did. We did a fucking 2 episodes on it, my guy. You've done this
Endless
before.
Endless Sunshine?
Endless Sunshine for the Spotless Mind. The Jim Carrey.
Oh.
I'm thinking of Ending Things.
I'm thinking of Ending Things. No, you're wrong. That was a great movie.
No, I think it was good. I think it would have been better if someone told them to not do some things. He needed a second person in the room, is what I'm saying. I think it was still good, but I think it would have helped. I think he needs a second person in the room, him specifically.
He might need a second person in the room. But, man, I still really fucking love that movie. Like, the movie really worked for me. And then also, Endless Sunshine and Endless Sunshine of the Spotless Mind are two different names, I feel like.
All right, you get a pass. You got a half pass for that.
I'll take the half pass. I'll take it. God, that's a lot of fucking movies, dude. And HBO's doing a similar thing. I mean, they didn't make all those. They bought them all, but...
Yeah, they made a deal with, like, Warner Brothers.
Movie every month.
The only thing that matters is Godzilla vs. Kong.
Only thing. The movie of the year.
I rewatched Kong Skull Island the other day, this past weekend. In preparation. Why? I mean, it's coming out in March. I had to refresh.
gotta prepare now.
Also, why? That movie fucking rules.
If we're being honest, I don't know if I've ever seen it.
Well, it's on HBO. You have time. The only one... You know there's a MonsterVerse? Like an MCU? But it's just monsters? That's what Kong vs. Godzilla is. The 2014 Godzilla is the first one. And then Kong Skull Island, or maybe Godzilla King of Monsters is the second. And then Kong Skull Island, and then this is like the fourth.
So this is like the I can't even think of an Avengers name. The Avengers?
Yeah, this is like Avengers Infinity War.
They aren't very good at branding, if you're the only person that knows that.
Yeah, me and whoever made the Wikipedia article about it. I don't care. I love monster movies. I'm a sucker for monster movies. You put a big fucking CGI monster. Like, I loved that. You know what movie I loved that I feel like I'm the only person on Earth who loved? Was a Rampage. Did you ever see that? With Dwayne The Rock Johnson and the giant ape.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
That movie fucking ruled.
Not only are you the only person that likes it, you might be the only person that's seen it.
You didn't even see it.
No, I didn't see it.
Well, that's why you don't like it. That movie rocked, man. It was The Rock, and he had a giant ape, and there was the bad guy had a giant wolf or something. and they fought, and it was awesome.
Maybe we should do an episode on it.
We should do like a monster movie, some sort of monster movie thing. But yeah, I'm all on board. I'm hyped as hell for Kong versus Godzilla. I love the original Godzilla. That shit. I love the original King Kong. He fought a fucking how genius is that?
But I don't know if I the original.
I wouldn't King say Kong, I loved it.
Loved it. Once but, like, I watched and I was like, it's pretty impressive they made this in the 40s.
The 30s. Kong was the 33, I think.
You're right, the 30s. Before World War II. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
It's pretty damn impressive.
And then Godzilla was the 50s.
You know movie, like, a little bit different, but you know what movies were really good?
Planet of the Apes. Yes, Planet of the Apes.
I need to watch Pacific Rim.
The first one is Guillermo del Toro, who did Pan's Labyrinth. And
Charlie Day.
He is in that. Yeah, he's in both, I think. The second one was not Guillermo del Toro and apparently sucked. I have not seen the second one. The first one was fucking awesome. You want to know why? Because it was giant robots fighting giant monsters.
It's a pretty good sell. Pretty good sell.
And Guillermo del Toro directed. He had such an interesting career.
He's got range.
He does. He did Hellboy, the good Hellboy. He did Pan's Labyrinth, which we did some episodes on.
I do remember those.
He did The Shape of Water, for which he won an Oscar for. I think he's doing one of the Netflix movies. He's doing like some weird Pinocchio remake. And then he did Pacific Rim.
I remember hearing about the Pinocchio remake.
He did Blade,
and I was like, why? And then I found out he was attached to it, and I was like, I'm kind of interested.
I think it's supposed to be like a dark, like, to the original fairy tale, sort of.
I'm kind of into that. I'm more into that than I am into the origin story of Willy Wonka.
It's going to be bad, but I'm going to fucking watch it just because see how bad it is.
It's going to be fucking trash. I wonder who they get casted for Willy Wonka.
I saw Tom Holland and Timothy Chalamet are like the two in consideration.
I'm not going to lie. I'd be kind of into that. Like,
I like both of them. I like both of them.
I just watching like Timothy Chalamet really just fucking go for it. I think it would be kind of entertaining.
I mean, he's been good in everything he's been in.
He's a hell of an actor.
But we'll see. We'll see when things happen. HBO. What else? The Dune remake's coming out on HBO this year.
Also Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up. I think it's coming out.
Name different every time.
October. Oh, you got to. That's directed by the same guy who did Sicario and Blade Runner 2049.
I watched Blade Runner 2049 without seeing the first Blade Runner. I was just really confused the whole time.
I think on this very podcast I said some negative things about Blade Runner. And I revisited it, and I loved it the second time.
So, the original?
Yeah, but I think it's one of those movies that it actually matters which cut of the movie you watch, like the director's cut versus the theatrical, because the theatrical, like the production company, like fucked it up, basically. So you need to watch like the director's cut, or the final cut is basically the director's cut, just like slightly different, so they can sell more. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who's in the original?
Harrison
Is
Ford.
Is that Harrison Ford?
Yeah, Harrison Ford.
Can't go wrong with Harrison Ford.
He's great in it. He's also very Harrison Ford about it, because there's like a semi-ambiguous ending to Blade Runner. And Harrison Ford famously doesn't give a fuck about the characters he plays. It's like...
And that's what makes him so good.
I know. But like, so like... The part of the semi-ambiguous part is like Harrison Ford may or may not be an android, you know, a replicant. in the first one.
Yeah.
And so people, so people obviously asked him, like, were you playing, like, do you think your character is a replicant? And he's, every time he's just like, that's fucking stupid. Of course I'm a human. Yeah. Which is, which is, you know, like, honestly, like, not even true. If you watch the movie.
There's so many people that are just hanging on every word, and he just does not give a shit.
Or like, it was like, it's like a bit, but it's like a semi-bit, because, you know, Harrison Ford actually doesn't care. But I think one of Conan's writers is like a big Indiana Jones nerd. So when Indiana Jones came on the show, Conan let him ask like Indiana Jones questions. And he asked him like something very specific about the type of whip he used or something. And Harrison Ford was just like, who gives a fuck?
It's perfect. I just want to whip people.
Yeah.
Or things. I don't know.
He said, I think he said the same thing people asked, because, you know, he made an appearance in Rise of the Skywalker, the latest Star Wars movie, and he made an appearance in it, and people were like, were you a Force ghost? And he was like, I don't give a fuck.
This is a man who just truly understood movie stardom.
Yeah, he just like, he genuinely didn't care.
I don't know if he, like, he just does not, like, imagine all these, like, really well-trained actors that really commit to the part, and then, like, they watch Harrison Ford just be fucking cool and just be a superstar.
That's his best skill.
It's just to be cool.
And goddamn, does he nail it.
He fucking nails it. He... What a treasure he is.
So yeah, let it be known, I like Blade Runner. It's a great movie. And I got over my differences with the book, and it's fine. I'm at peace.
This is progress in the show. Mm-hmm. 98 episodes of progress.
We're evolving, yeah. Alright, this is episode 98 of the Noah and Eric Show. We are doing epic rock songs. Is that what we settled on? Settled on the title? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the title itself was a journey. It needs to be a little
explanation. So it's epic rock songs, but what does that mean? You know, that doesn't mean great rock songs.
No,
that means like it's like,
well, preferably longer. They are. Yeah,
yes. I mean, all of ours we chose are great, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's like longer songs that are kind of like maybe a journey a little bit. Think of like, I think the quintessential example is Bohemian Rhapsody. It's like an epic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Songs along those lines.
Yeah, the original way we did this was we said songs longer than 6 minutes, and then we started looking up songs longer than 6 minutes and realized that encapsulated a lot of songs. That didn't fit exactly what we meant by it, so we changed it. It's epic rock songs. I think all of mine are longer than 6 minutes, and I think all of mine are longer than like 8 minutes. Or I think my shortest one is like 7.
Yeah, I only have a few. Like, mine are, you on average, around like 6, 7, 8 minutes. I have a couple of long ones, though.
So, yeah. I expect our list to be very different.
I'm curious what you're going to choose. I'm also curious. I feel like there's a couple that are, like, borderline epics, but I think I can convince you if you disagree.
I'm at a point where I think our lists are going to be so different that we're just going to have to accept each other's lists. This is going to be one of the rare times where I don't think there's going to be any crossover.
Oh, that can't be possible.
I think it is.
I think there's one that could be a crossover.
I mean, I can see...
I'm curious what you're going
to
choose now.
I'm curious about your list, because you seem to think that your picks are obvious.
I don't think they're... Okay, we'll see. Let's get to it.
To be honest, I think there's only one that's maybe on your list. One only.
Oh, I can't wait to find out what you chose then.
Yeah. And I think the others have no shot. All right. So do you want to go first, or you want me to go first this time?
I can go first.
Okay.
For number 6, and this is what I think might be a crossover, Shine On You Crazy Diamond, Pink Floyd.
Okay. I did. That's in my honorable mentions. I really struggled with this, but I went with a different Floyd song. But yes, okay. I think that's close enough. That was not the one I had in mind, though. But yeah, I think that's close enough where we were kind of thinking similar lines.
Yeah. Was the one you thought was going to be crossover? Did you think it was going to be Pink Floyd?
Uh-uh.
Okay. This is just a gem of a song.
It's great.
Like nine, 10 minutes. And the first, like, four-fifths of it, there is just no, like, there's no words, you know? And then, what's his name? Not Roger Waters.
Yeah, he was a singer. Or David
Gilmour. Yeah, Roger Waters comes in, and it's just like, it's like, when is he going to come in? And it's so good. It starts with that, great freaking song for a great album.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like I said, that was in my honorable mentions. There's a lot of Pink Floyd songs to choose from. Especially when we were originally making this list for the 6-minute one, I was like, Jesus, this is going to be, it's like all their songs. Except anything past the first album is more than 6 minutes, so. Okay. Yeah, so I went a little funky with my list. That's the other reason why, just to make it more interesting. My first one, I was struggling with a few, and I kind of did the similar thing to the TV characters, where it's like I wanted to limit to one per, which is why some other songs got left off. So I just want to say that up front. I did a song called Cygnus Vismin Cygnus, which is the first song on the Mars Volta's Francis the Mute album, which is one of my favorite albums ever. And it's a 10-minute song that sets up the concept of the concept album, and it's great.
The last 30 seconds of you talking, I don't think I've understood one word. I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
Yeah, so the band, the Mars Volta, they made a concept album called Francis the Mute. And the concept is their producer found, he used to work like repos on cars, and he repoed a car, and they like when they like took it, the guy wasn't home or whatever, so like it wasn't like the intense repos like you saw on Spike TV, the greatest channel ever. Wasn't that a show they had?
That's a callback to our last episode.
Yeah, well, that was a show they had, right? Was that Spike? It feels Spike.
It feels very Spike.
So he did like a repo. This was like before he was a full-time producer. And in the back of the car, they found a notebook. And the notebook was, it was like notes of this guy, of presumably the owner of the car, trying to find his parents that he never met. And it was like notes of like trying to like narrow down who they were. And the producer also never met his parents. So there was a thing there, and so the band made a concept album about a person who's trying to find their parents. And the first song of that album is a 10-minute song called Cygnus Vismin Cygnus. The title tracks for this album are weird because they're random notes from the notebook. They could mean anything. But yeah, all the titles are notes directly from that notebook. And this is a 10-minute song basically setting up the concept for the whole album of a person trying to find their parents. It's pretty epic.
I can't believe I assumed we would have any of the same choices for this.
That's what I'm saying.
That's for me. That's my mistake. That's my naivety. Naivety.
Naivete. Yeah.
Yeah,
all right,
that one.
What's your fifth?
It sounds good. I've never heard of this band, you know? And when were they?
Early 2000s? Early to mid-2000s?
Okay.
They're really good. They're close with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. They opened for them. Like, at least once. And the guitarist for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, like, has guest appearances on this album. And Flea's on this album.
Oh, cool.
Flea was the bassist for their first album. Like, the whole album. This is not their first album, though. But, yeah.
All right. My number five is American Pie. which is a fucking jam.
No, it is. I'm just laughing because, like, I know our lists are going to be so fucking different.
Our lists are going to be so fucking different. but, yeah, this is a goddamn jam. A great sing-along. A great, like, if you're in a car with other people, sing along to it. Everybody knows the chorus. Or at least at one point, I think I knew every word of this song. And I like the song, if you listen to it, it talks about, like, some of the history of music. So it talks about the Beatles and Elvis and Bob Dylan, which I really enjoy. Very good song, though. Very good.
It's the Buddy Holly song, right?
Yeah, it's the Buddy Holly song. Oh, yeah, I guess he talks about Buddy Holly, too.
Well, isn't it about Buddy Holly?
Bye-bye, Mr. American Pie. Drove my father to the levee, but the levee was dry. Good old boys drinking whiskey and rye. Singing this will be the
yeah,
great yep. fucking song. We can great cut song. That out.
No, I mean, you're right, I could. Yeah, it's just an incredible song. Yeah. It's like 8 minutes, right? I'm just trying to think.
It's a long one. This is a very long song.
Yeah, it's about the day the music died, where, yeah, Buddy Holly died in that plane crash. But yeah, that's a great one. Absolute banger. Alright, so my fifth is Echoes by Pink Floyd, which was the one I was debating. Yeah, I was debating between Echoes and Shine On You Crazy Diamond. For variety's sake, I guess I'm glad I picked Echoes, so we talk about different ones. This is the last song on Metal, I think.
Metal, I think, is their hidden gem of an album.
I agree. That song's...
Unless if you count Animals as that, but I think Animals is up there with, like, their iconic albums.
Yeah, I think that one was good enough that... Yeah, I agree. But yeah, Metal, I love that album. Echoes is just... It's a fucking journey. It's the last song of the album. It's like 20 minutes. It's just... It's a Pink Floyd journey.
It's so goddamn long. That song is so goddamn long, dude.
It is, yeah.
Every time I like listen to Metal and it echoes, I was like, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. If we want to talk about, like, another person in the room checking and balancing the artist, this is the moment.
yeah. So Echoes is my fifth song's a journey. Yeah, that was my Pink Floyd song, the one I chose. I chose that over Shine On You Crazy Diamond. The other one I was considering was Pigs, three different ones from Animals. So
yeah,
but yeah, what is your yeah? What were you gonna say?
Fucking love Pink Floyd. Yeah, I have nothing to add. Just Pink Floyd, so good. My number four is Heroin by Velvet Underground. Is this a little bit of a stretch? This is the one where I don't know if you'll agree is an epic.
I think you'll find out in a few picks of mine.
Oh, I love this song. Do we want to wait until it comes up, if it does?
Let's just wait, hypothetically speaking. Let's just wait.
Hypothetically speaking, yeah. Okay.
That was your fourth?
That was my fourth.
My fourth is Epitaph by King Crimson. This song rocks. I highly recommend it. You should really listen to their first album.
King Crimson?
Yeah, their first album, In the Court of the Crimson King, which came out in 1969. They're like considered one of the like prog rock OGs, but that first album in particular is like really kind of ahead of its time, especially the first song, 21st Century Schizoid Man, which I also considered, but that's not really a journey.
That's a great name for a song.
Yeah. It's not so much a journey, even though it does fit the original time requirement, which is why I was thinking of it. But Epitaph is just that song is deep. It's a journey. It fits the bill. I love that song. It's a great song.
Okay, I've never even heard of them, and I feel like I've heard of like most relevant bands from the '60s.
They were like 1969 is just what a fucking year for albums. And that was that's I think that's one of the reasons why. It's because like that I think they're one of those bands who's famously pretty experimental. So they kind of touched on a lot of things. Like they have an album called Red, which I considered putting a song from Red in this, and that was like Kurt Cobain's like favorite album was their Red. But like that you can definitely tell has like a lot of stuff that would inspire a Kurt Cobain. In the Court of the Crimson King is very much 60s still, but it is still like kind of ahead of its time in a lot of ways. They went through a big evolution of they just a bunch of random shit, but yeah, that I still think that's their best album. I think it's the first. And Epitaph is just that song just it really hits.
Epitaph. What does the epitaph mean?
I believe it's like the words on a tombstone or something.
Ah.
Let's see what the Google definition. Phrase or form of words written in memory of a person who has died, especially as an inscription on a tombstone.
Ah, that's such a specific word.
Yeah.
Very German of us.
Yeah. All right, your third.
My third is Funeral for a Friend / Love Lies Bleeding. Do you know this song?
I don't know if I do.
It's the first song off Yellow Brick Road by Elton John.
Oh.
This song is a
goddamn Our boy.
Jam. Was that?
Our boy.
Our boy. The movie of the year that's definitely better than Bohemian Rhapsody.
That movie was so much better than Bohemian Rhapsody. It's not even fucking close.
It's not even a debate.
Have you watched Bohemian Rhapsody a second time?
I've watched like parts of it on HBO.
Awful. Oh my god.
It's worse the second
time. It's so much worse the second time. I couldn't believe it. Like I watched it the second time and I was like I watched it the first time and I watched it in the did you ever see it in the theaters?
I did.
Yeah, I did too, and like especially with the last 20 minutes in the theaters, it's like you're like, this is fun. This is fun as hell. Like, why not? Yeah, I like Queen. That ruled. And then like but everyone was like, no, this movie's actually bad. And I was like, I don't know. It came out on streaming and I watched it, you know, just at home on the TV or whatever. And I was like, Jesus Christ, I did not remember this movie being this awful.
It's like one of those movies you watch from 20 years ago and you're like, wow, movies have gotten so much better than back then where they made shit like that.
Exactly.
That came out like 2 years ago.
Exactly.
It was bad.
Dude, and it's won awful. Oscars. Oh my god, I cannot believe that movie won Oscars. I can't believe
it's
it.
It's so... It's awful. It's a horrible fucking movie. The only thing it has is Queen was a fucking great band.
That's the best thing it has going for it.
The only thing.
You're right, it's the only thing.
What a bad movie.
It's bad beyond, like... It's pretty uncomfortable, like... How they made the dead guy the villain.
Yeah.
And then also how they used the dead guy's illness as like the climactic moment, even though that's not when it happened in real life.
Just, yeah.
Beyond know, that,
even
it's
if
bad.
You take away the problematic stuff, it still just doesn't, it's not very interesting. Isn't it like, it's been a while, but isn't it them just writing music? Like that feels like it's half the movie.
It's painfully boring and like it's just weirdly put together. Like you could tell because I mean it was a mess. Like end of like they changed directors like two thirds of the way through, and that was like a famous thing that happened. And like the edit was apparently reportedly famously a mess, which is why they won an award for it. But like making a shitty movie like half coherent, I don't feel like deserves an award. You know what I mean?
No, I don't think it does. We should reward good movies.
Yeah, and that's basically what that award was. But if you watch, like, there's, like, some real whiplash scenes where it's just, I think, like, you remember the scene where they meet the agent?
Maybe. That rings a bell.
Littlefinger was the agent, I think.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Like, when they have lunch with him for the first time, that scene is incoherent. Like... Like, I mean, someone pointed it out on Twitter, And, like, I watched it after I saw, like, someone explain why that scene was incoherent. And it didn't really occur to me much the first time, maybe because I was just still thinking of I Like Queen music. Yeah. It makes... I don't even know how to describe it. It's, like, people are looking the wrong direction the whole scene. And it's just, like, whiplash. Really? Yeah. It's, like... people will look to where the other person's supposed to be, but it'll cut to someone else. Like, it honestly will, like, give you a headache if you actually try and pay attention of what's happening and how they're laying it out. It's awful.
Oh, I gotta rewatch. No, I don't. I should never rewatch that. I don't need to put myself through that.
Yeah, why
shit.
Would you rewatch? Just watch Rocket Man, an actually good movie about our boy.
Our boy Elton.
The Pinner Prince.
That scene where he goes from, like, falling into the pool to, like, getting, like, manipulated and, like, hitting the baseball bat to the stadium. Such a good, like, sequence.
A actually coherent movie thing that happened? Yeah, that was brilliant.
Such a good movie.
I love that actor.
I do, too. He's really good.
Yeah.
He deserved an award. But Funeral for a Friend. Very good song.
I have to revisit that. It's not for my. I should. There was a while where I got really, because he was our boy. You know, I went through his discography and I need to go back. Okay, that was your fourth. That was your third.
My third.
My third, and I'll say this is the one I actually did not expect. One that we will talk about. And a couple picks that ended up being, so I was wrong. There's gonna be at least one. This other one I was the one I was thinking of when I said I expected us to have one. Purple Rain.
Oh shit, man. I was thinking strictly classic rock when I was making my list.
It's kind of classic rock. I mean, that will offend our parents. Yeah. But it is.
Purple Rain is absolutely, like, it would make my top six if I thought of it. God damn.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fine. That's good. Our lists are different. That's good. Yeah. Purple Rain. Prince. A legend. It's crazy. He's dead.
It's so fucking sad. I wanted to see him live so bad.
Me too.
Purple Rain. Like, Prince. He is one of the most talented musicians of all time. He's insane.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like, no, there's no question about it. Also, like, extraordinary basketball player, apparently.
And an extraordinary ping pong player.
He just was great at everything.
He was just a talent of a human being.
One of the greatest television things ever. It was the Prince playing basketball sketch on the Chappelle Show.
Yeah, I remember that. That was great.
Which Charlie Murphy also died.
Who's Charlie Murphy?
Charlie Murphy was, that was the whole bit, was it was like Charlie Murphy, who's Eddie Murphy's brother. The whole bit was he was telling, like, just wild batshit stories about hanging out with Eddie Murphy and, like, the celebrities he would meet. And so they put Charlie Murphy in a room and had him retell these stories, and then Chappelle did sketches of him reenacting Charlie Murphy's telling of these Hollywood... I think they call it, like, Hollywood Nights with Charlie Murphy. But right, one of them was how he and his friends got destroyed in a game against Prince at basketball while Prince was wearing a blouse at a party.
This is the most Prince thing in the world.
It's so fucking good.
What a fucking legend.
Yeah, like, that story, and also, like, Dave Chappelle in a blouse playing basketball against fake Charlie Murphy. That is what television needs to be.
Yeah, that is what television needs.
That and Deadliest Warrior. That's what
we need. Deadliest Warrior and Chappelle Show. I will pay for that streaming service alone. Not the show, like a modern day Chappelle Show. Like, if he did the same thing but today.
That show was unbelievable.
That show was pretty incredible. It is such a lot. It was only on for like two seasons, right?
Yeah, it was like two or three.
Yeah, and it's such a lasting effect.
Wasn't the first ever sketch on Chappelle's Show the Black White Supremacist? Like, I'm pretty sure that was their first ever sketch.
coming out with a banger. That's like Sunny coming out with a...
The gang is racist or whatever?
The gang is racist, yeah. You've got to be like legendary status to like open up something with that.
Yeah, Sunny's first three episodes were like the gang is racist.
The abortion one.
The abortion episode, and I feel like I feel like their first season was all like they just like, where are the most controversial topics? Those are gonna be our episodes.
That's exactly what they did. One of them was they opened the bar to like kids. You know, like
yeah. Yes. Yeah, I remember that. That was good. Yeah, and all the kids like start puking.
Yeah. That first season, they just fucking went. That first season's really underrated. It's really good.
I agree. And then, yeah, it was before Frank. Frank showed up in the second.
Yeah. That show, like, the first season, and then, like, the first, like, four or five, like, then, like, seasons, like, 2 through 6 or 5. And then from there to where it is now, just so different. Like, the show is like three different shows in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Yeah, that first season... But the first season, you could tell, like, what it was.
Yeah.
And Frank definitely helped, and, like, I understood why the studio, or whatever, Fox, or was it Fox? FX?
FX.
Wanted them to brought in Danny DeVito, but...
It was a good move. It was a good move.
Yeah.
It was pretty fringe the first season.
Yeah. But the roots were there the whole time, I think.
Yeah, you like it's not that, okay, maybe I said there were like different shows. Like it still has the same DNA, but like it definitely like changes, you know? It gets more and more ridiculous, I think. Like I think the first season was almost grounded in something real almost, like they kind of felt like real people. But like by the time you hit seasons 6, 7, 8, like they're caricatures of what they were.
Yeah, that's definitely true. All right, I said Purple Rain. That was my third, so I believe you're on your second.
God, Purple Rain was a good get. Won't Get Fooled Again by The Who.
It's a good one. That's a really good one.
It's a goddamn jam.
Yeah, that is. That is.
The drum solo in it. I love The Who. The Who, like that, they were probably my first favorite band when I was like a kid.
They're great. I mean, they're awesome. Have you heard their latest album? They released an album like last. They released an album like last year. It's like Pete Townsend and one of the other guys are like the only original members.
Yeah.
They put out an album like last year, and it's like not terrible. Like shockingly. Like, I was really? Like, The Who put out an album, this is gonna be terrible. And it was, like, shockingly not. And it was, like, kind of... It was, like, the first song was pretty self-aware. The lyrics are, like, about, like, you know, like, we're washed, but this is what we do.
Yeah.
Kind of.
We can't do anything else.
Yeah. I would recommend it. I mean, it's not a classic, but it's, you know, it was fun. It's fine.
Listening to.
Yeah.
I gotta check that out.
But yeah, Won't Get Fooled Again is a classic.
I remember that was like on Rock Band or Guitar Hero when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that was such a fun song to play. Like, the drum solo was so intense for that song.
I miss playing Rock Band and stuff with, like, everyone in college.
Dude, Rock Band is the greatest game of all time.
It's so fun.
How are they still not making that? I'm really confused by that. I would 100% buy Rock Band again.
Well, that's the problem. Like, I mean, now you can't. Like, that was the thing with college, is just like we could play it. Like, we always had enough people to play Rock Band. Like, Guitar Hero 3 is like one of my most outplayed hours, like in terms of hours games of all time. Guitar Hero 3 and like Rock Band, those were like the fucking, that was everything.
Yeah, literally in middle school I would go I'd walk home, you know, and then like a friend on my walk home had it, and we'd just play like 30-45 minutes every single day after school. Single day. I could play expert guitar and sing on expert at the same time. I got ridiculously good at it.
Damn.
I did not stay that good, as you know, with our first experience.
That's right. We did. The first time we met, it was over Rock Guitar Hero 3. Because it was in Jake's room. Jake had Guitar Hero 3.
And I think it was the Who song. It was the Who song, too.
Yeah, I don't remember. I just know it was Guitar Hero, not Rock Band, but you chose to sing it anyway. That's what I remember of that.
Yeah, you're goddamn right I did.
Yeah, so wait, so that was, wasn't that your, like, birthday?
Or, like, it was my birthday, yeah.
Because I just know you were very wasted.
Oh, I didn't know a thing of what I was doing. I vaguely remember. I remember this through stories of other people telling me what happened.
Yeah, because I remember, yeah, Jake, the funniest thing was, like, Jake hated people being in his room, but there's always so many people in this room. That was, like, part of the funny, that was, like, it was almost became a joke between, like, all of us, and then, but he had Guitar Hero 3, so people would just come and play it in his room.
This is a great game.
And I think, like, probably because of, like, Bridget or someone, like, you were just, they were just parading you around. You didn't know where you were.
That's exactly what they were doing. I was too drunk to know what was happening, and they were just dragging me from room to room.
Yeah, and then they were like, it's his birthday.
I was being used, Aaron.
Yeah.
I was being used.
Well, they were like, it's his birthday. Can he play a song? And we were like, sure. And so, yeah, you played, I don't remember which song. It might have been a Who song. I'm trying to think. But you chose to sing it as well as play it on Guitar Hero. And that was that was a special moment for everyone. You sang to, it was a crowd of like 15 people in this small dorm room. And
I think I was talking a lot of shit. I was like, I fucking nailed this game. I'm so goddamn good. And then
that sounds about right.
I chose, it does sound very uncouth. I chose medium and then like failed within the minute.
I'm pretty sure you did. Yeah. Yeah, I have like two memories of Guitar Hero 3 in that dorm room. It was like, it was you stealing the show. And then it was Thomas Peterson, the soccer player. He like beat Through the Fire and the Flames on like expert. He like figured out how to do it.
Of course he did.
But he like slowly built up. Like he would get like a few percent at a time. Like he started at like 40%, and then he kind of figured out there's like a certain technique that works with it, I guess. But the one time he did it, and he was playing it, and it was like, it was Thomas, me, and Jake, and Thomas's girlfriend at the time weren't the only ones in the room. And so he's jamming on Through the Fire and the Flames, and then he fails, because it was like in his trial age before he mastered it. And he died at exactly 69%. And me, Thomas, and Jake were all like, oh! And his girlfriend just like started shaking her head. It was so fucking funny.
That's classic.
Yeah, it was just peak freshman college things.
That just reeks of like 18, 19 year old boys.
It was a great time.
Whoa. Peak years, you know, the golden years.
The golden years. Yes, The Who.
The Who. Great fucking band.
Great band.
Won't Control the Gun.
Yes. That's absolutely worthy of the list. I honestly didn't think of it when I was thinking of Epic, but I should have. But that one slipped.
I didn't think of it until I was like going through my artists and like doing research, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That was your second?
That was my number two.
Okay. My number two is a song. I don't know if you've heard of this one. It's called Heroin by Velvet Underground.
Sounds interesting.
Sounds interesting. I think this song is definitely a journey. Because it's
100%.
Like, it's like, it makes you feel like you've taken heroin. I feel like that makes it a journey.
It does. I imagine that's what, like, the bad parts of heroin, where everything, like, because, like, you have that, like, upper beat, not upper, like, the tone sound, you know, that, like, grows gradually.
Yeah, exactly. On. Yeah, for sure. And I think that makes it a journey. Yeah, so I think absolutely. I put it at number two. It's like one of my favorite, it's probably my favorite Velvet Underground song. It's up there.
It's up there for, I think Pale Blue Eyes is my number, is my favorite.
Yeah, that Velvet one, Underground yeah, song. That one's up there. There's other Velvet Undergrounds that I was considering, but when we just narrowed it to, like, when we changed the title to Epic, like, Journeys, that's when I decided Heroin had to be the song. The other songs I was thinking, like, Oh Sweet Nothing is a song I love. I think The Gift is, like, really fun. But the first time you hear it is really weird. That's the song where he's, like, spoken word talking about a guy shipping himself to a girl and then her cutting him in half on accident.
Yeah, I don't. If you haven't heard spoken word songs, I can't get over that hump. Maybe so that's on me.
The first time I listened to it, it took me a few times, but once I actually like listened to it, I was like, "This is pretty fucking funny," because that's the plot of the song. It sounds crazy when I just explain it in those simple terms, but if you listen to the 8-minute spoken word song, I can assure you it's just as crazy, if not crazy.
It won't make any more sense.
Yeah, no, I think it makes more sense. It's just in. It's just you won't be happy. You won't be happy about it.
It's what Lou Reed wanted.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, but yeah, Heroin for sure. That's your
song. Most songs about heroin make me want to try heroin. This one does not.
That's true. It's an elite heroin song because you can say, like, I can tell that this makes you feel like you're on heroin, but I heroin never want to try.
Probably
heroin.
A bummer.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. How many other heroin? There's probably a lot of heroin songs, but I just can't think of any. Do you know anyone?
There are. They're just not as obvious.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's true. This one's pretty obvious. It is the name of the song.
He doesn't beat around the bush.
There is a line that says heroin is my life and my wife in this song,
and it feels very accurate. I'm assuming that's what most heroin addicts believe.
Yeah, heroin, great song,
great freaking song. All right, my number one.
Are we doing honorable mentions? Honorable mentions.
Oh shit, you're right. Honorable. Oh my god, those.
Don't you dare tell us your number one. That's. Well, I have honorable mentions. If you, Roundabout by Yes.
Oh fuck yes! God damn it, that's a great one. That would have made my top six potentially.
Close to the Edge by Yes was also in there, but I like Roundabout more. There's this great song called, I cannot pronounce it. It's Anesthetize. It's like anesthesia, but instead of the shiza part, it's ties. Anesthetize. Because there's still like the TH part. So like,
who's it by?
Porcupine Tree. But there's a guest guitar solo by Alex. There's a guest guitar solo by Alex Lifeson in the song. And it rules.
Who's that again?
Guitarist from Rush.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. That song is dope. It's an 18-minute journey. But it's like three different good songs put into one. I also put Starless, which is a song on Red by King Crimson that I kind of mentioned before. I mentioned The Gift. What other ones? I mean, there's a lot of other ones.
Riders on the Storm by The Doors.
Oh, that's a good one.
I have vivid memory. Did you ever play Need for Speed?
Yes.
That song was on that game, and I played that game so much growing up. And that song, every time I listen to it, I think of that game. And I love that song, and I love that game.
That's a great game. They still make those, but it's not the same.
It's not the same. That was the best one for sure. You Can't Always Get What You Want by The Stones.
Yeah. That's a great one. Time by Pink Floyd, Money by Pink Floyd.
Time's a good one. Mr. Blue Sky by Yellow. Not 6 minutes, but a great fucking song. And that felt like an epic, you know?
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, like, oh, in My Time of Dying by Led Zeppelin, When the Levee Breaks by Led Zeppelin.
I was going to ask about When the Levee Breaks. I almost put that on my top six, but I thought that, I don't know if that counts as an epic, but I felt like it did, but I didn't want to risk it.
Yeah, because it hit the, when we were doing the 6 minute thing, it hit the time limit, but I think that's tough.
I think it does, but it's close.
That song is so good. It's so underrated. Really, it's good. One of their most underrated songs because it's on that album. It's on 4, which, like, every song is... It's like all the other songs are so fucking good. But yeah, that song is great.
I guess Stairway to Heaven is, it would be considered.
Yeah, I've just... I'm beyond acknowledging that song at this point.
Yeah, it's the same way with, like, Bohemian Rhapsody and Hey Jude.
Yeah. when I was thinking of, like, making the most obnoxious list ever, because, like, when we just did the 6 minute mark, I was trying to think of, like, other ways, because there was too many songs to, like, narrow it down. So at one point I was like, maybe I'll just do, like, the most obnoxious long songs I can do. So one of them, and I genuinely do like this song, but it's by a composer called Gustav Holst. And he wrote a suite called The Planets, and the first one is Mars Bringer of War, and it's awesome. But it's basically John Williams ripped off this suite for the Star Wars score. It's basically Star Wars before Star Wars. He almost copied it exactly. But the first song is called Mars Bringer of War. How awesome is that? It's incredibly badass, and it's basically Star Wars before Star Wars. So, like, it's awesome. There's nothing wrong with it.
Good day for a song. Yeah. it took a lot out of you to not choose that song, didn't it?
Well, when you said... I decided to follow the prompt more when we made a more concise prompt.
I'm glad.
Other ones...
Have you ever heard of the Prophet song by Queen?
I don't know if I have.
I think it's pretty good. There's like a 3 or 4 minute segment where it's just a cappella, and it's just like, damn, they just fucking are like flexing, you know? It's worth checking out. Down by the River and Like a Hurricane by Neil Young, I think, are two really good songs. Down by the River is
long. Some of these songs, like, I just don't realize are that long.
Yeah, Down by the River is like 9 minutes long.
That's wild.
It's wild. He might have like a shorter version of it, but like the version I know.
Especially these older bands, they all made like radio edits, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that definitely counts if like the true version. I have a guess at what your number one is, so I'm not going to mention that. But I believe what I'm guessing your number one was on my honorable mention list. But we'll find out if I'm right.
Good chance you're right. I think it's kind of predictable.
I don't know then.
Is Days Confused? I like that. That's above 6 minutes. I thought about putting that on.
Yeah. So
When the Levee Breaks makes way more sense. But
yeah, it does. That was like I put together a playlist called Long Songs, where I was like I was going through bands I like, and like anything that was over 6 minutes I was putting in there so I could like condense it. And that one's in this. I'm just going through that playlist right now. But since we changed the criteria, it probably wouldn't be. But yeah it was originally in there. Same with Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You. And Nobody's Fault But Mine is over 6 minutes.
I thought about that too. I think When the Levee Breaks makes the most sense of those,
for sure.
We talked about this before that we start recording, the Desolation Row.
Yes,
is a journey.
The inspiration for Watchmen, the graphic novel.
I forgot about that. Yeah, God, I fucking love Bob Dylan.
Yeah, there's one of the lines in that song is, semi what the graphic novel Watchmen was based off of. I don't remember what it was. It was something about, he has a line about superheroes. Whatever the line of superheroes was. There's probably only one of those.
I'm embarrassed. I don't know it.
I mean, it's a 9-minute song, and like, it's all verse.
It's all fucking verse. It's insane.
So it's fine if you don't know that one specific line. I mean, there's a bunch of weird stuff that Mastodon made a concept album about what's that guy's name? Oh my god, I forgot. That Russian like magic dude. I want to say like Rumpelstiltskin, but that's not it. What's his name? Rasputin.
I still don't know who this is.
It's a concept album about Rasputin becoming like the Elephant Man and ascending to the stars. It's fucking nuts. It's the dumbest concept ever. But there's kind of another concept that's actually
a lot of drugs.
Yeah, but there's another concept that's like, so that's the thing about this album that's weird. I actually really like this album, but like, there's two concepts. There's that one, and then there's another concept that's very serious and like kind of sad about an event that happened in one of the band members' lives. So it's weird when you mention this is a concept album, because it's like, yeah, it's kind of extremely silly but also extremely serious. It's very strange. I don't know why they chose to do this, but there's a couple songs. There's The Last Baron is fun, and there's a song called The Czar, which are very long and epic. You could do like, if you, we could get like really pretentious and say So What by Miles Davis.
That's a good choice though.
Yeah. I mean, like King's Crimson songs by Law are over 6 minutes, so you could put any of those. They have a bunch of really long ass epic songs. That's kind of what they wrote. That's all I got, I think.
If we're going outside the genre of rock, LCD Sound System, Dance Yourself Clean.
Okay. So I think I do know what your number one is, but I was debating between that. I wasn't sure if you were going to put that on your list.
That I was focusing just on classic rock, but if I wasn't, that would be on my list 100%. That's
a great song. It's just a great song.
It's a goddamn journey.
The payoff is so good.
Yeah. I mean, I love that. Boom, boom, you know? And then, like, when it starts to get, like, the harder, drums. You know?
Yeah.
Take me down on the...
He did, like a video concert in Madison Square Garden, and I highly recommend looking up Dance Yourself Clean on YouTube at live at Madison Square Garden. It looks like a great time. That would have been a hell of a concert.
Check that out. Have you listened to his other stuff?
Yeah, some of it.
I can't get into his other stuff, but I don't know why, because I love that song.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it's dance, you know? I don't know. It's not my thing, usually, but, like, I mean, you know, I'm really open to any genre, generally speaking, so... There's some stuff in most genres I like. But yeah, you're right. Like, Daft Punk is playing at my house is, like, the best example of another LCD Sound System song, and that's not really my thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know why that is. I have no explanation for you. Because he's not exactly, like, there's some artists that are, like, experimental by nature, so, like, it makes sense that you'll like two of their albums and, like, the rest you'll be like, oh, this is not me. But there's something about him that you're right, like, that song is definitely stands out from his other stuff in my opinion too.
Yeah, but like, I also like, it stands out significantly, but when I listen to his other stuff, it's not like it's a different like, there's some bands where like if you listen to like Van Halen, you know, Jump is so different from every other thing they do, that it's like, this is even the same band. I'm a little confused. That the LCD Sound System doesn't feel like that to me. It's like, it's the same band for sure, but Dance Yourself Clean is the only thing I can get into.
It does, because I kind of feel the same way, but I don't know how to describe it. You're right though.
Yeah.
You're right, because they're not like, I'm trying to think, like King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard are kind of like this, where like all their albums are kind of different, and then like they made an, like, Apparently there was like they were a garage band, and then they did more like psychedelic stuff, and then they, like 2 years ago they made an album that's like, I mean, it's still them, but it's kind of like their version of like an early Metallica almost album, which, and so like you could tell, like, you know, people going to their concerts now, it would probably be, there'd be like people who listen to like, oh, they listen to that album versus like the psychedelic stuff. Like, you could tell like there'd be that kind of mix, and like, you're right, like there wouldn't be that with LCD Sound System, like, but yeah, for some reason one song is, I don't know, I have no idea, I have no explanation. This is my way of saying once again that we have no explanation for this phenomenon. I'm just trying to think of another artist I feel this way about, and there's really none. I haven't looked into like the deeper works of Gustav Holst, but
really, that's surprising.
Mars, Bringer of War, it's a banger. It's crazy. Right. You'll listen to it and you'll be like, "This is the Star Wars score," and then you'll realize like 50 years later, like John Williams just ripped this.
Is that like a thing people say, or is that like you listen to it and you're like, "Holy shit, John Williams ripped this"?
Both. People have said it, yes. But it's like, it's startlingly similar. Like, it doesn't take, like, honestly, I'd recommend just like hit play and like just skip to any point in the song, and you'll be like, yeah, I see it. I see what he's done here.
This goddamn thief.
Yeah. All right. That was our honorable mentions.
Quite the honorable mention list.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many we're leaving out, but
yeah, there's a lot of songs out there.
All right, well, who do you want to go first?
I can go first.
Okay.
All right. I'm curious if you. Okay, my number one is "I Want You, She's So Heavy" by the Beatles.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was thinking it was either that, if I figured that would be on your list. Somewhere, yeah.
Well, what was the other one you thought it'd be?
Oh, well, "Dance Yourself Clean."
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This song is, it's a perfect song. I think it actually is the best Beatles song, hot take.
It's good. That, man, that album, I wish it didn't get over. It's kind of like Led Zeppelin 4, where it's like, it sucks that it kind of got overplayed, but it's so good.
It's like Zeppelin 4, but there's so many more songs. Like, it's overplayed almost, but like,
I guess the second half. That song isn't, and like the second, the melody isn't, because it's hard to overplay that specifically.
But, and those are the best two parts of the album. That melody is like probably the best thing the Beatles ever did, and this is, in my opinion, the best single song they've ever made, and like. The first half of the album is very overplayed, and it's excellent. But the second half of the album is way better. And it's so good. Like, this song is so goddamn good.
Yeah, no, it's a great song. It's a great album.
They do this thing like where like a lot of songs will like I don't even know how to explain this. They'll like add something. So like in between like a chorus and a verse, there might be like an instrumental part. And then the second time around, they'll add words to it. But in this song, the Beatles do the reverse where like they sing it. And then the second time around, like it's just the instrumental part. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it feels so different because they inverse it. And then at some point there's like a tempo change, and it's, oh man, it's so fucking good. This song is so goddamn good.
You can tell this is definitely like, I think the craziest thing about that album is like, it feels like that's the peak Beatles, but like they were just in disarray making that album. I think that's the crazy part about that album to me.
They fucking hated each other. Yeah. It really was,
like,
is incredible.
They barely communicate. Like, they could barely communicate during the making of that album.
Yeah. And yet, even like during the melody, it required such like collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Like formed John and Paul's songs and George's songs together.
Yeah. It's nuts. It's crazy. I don't know. It's just, it's wild.
God, I love the Beatles. Are just, they're just so much better. They're so good. They're just the best band ever. It's just a fact.
All right. On my number one, this song I personally love. Well, obviously, because it's my number one. But Rush's 2112.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. I was waiting for the Rush song.
Yeah. That's just their... It's just... It's so Rush, but it's just so good. It almost killed them. They, like, hated making it, apparently. It was one of those things where they decided they were going to try and make, like, an epic song. But, yeah. Like, they realized it was extremely hard to do that when they started doing it. So they hated making it the whole time. But it's just great. It's just a fun song. It has a plot, but it's like not lame, you know.
I'm surprised they struggled with it because they're so fucking talented.
I know. I think they. Because after that, it was like, you know, after that they like kind of changed their sound a bit because they were just like so jaded by the process of writing 2112. But yeah, no, I just love that song. I just think it's great. I just think they nailed it. That's all I have to say. I'm very grateful. I saw Neil Peart live.
That's like
my crowning achievement. I didn't realize it was going to be my crowning achievement at the time, but I think it is.
God, I'm jealous. That's an all-timer for sure.
Yeah, 2112. It's like their fourth album, and after that they like transition to their kind of more synthy stuff, and then not really actually. Yeah, I don't know. They had a weird arc, but they're just a great band. Just a great band.
They're a great band. They're the type of band where when I listen to them, and I rarely have this, where I listen to them and when it, like I think to myself, how can I listen to anything else? They're just too good, you know? Like, why would I when I start listening to them, that's what I listen to for the rest of the day.
Yeah, for sure. And they just have like their catalog's just like a lot deeper than I think a lot of people realize.
Yeah. I've had the same experience when I listened to like Parliament and Funkadelic.
Uh-huh.
Whenever we're just funk in general, I'm like, fuck, the funk is the fucking shit. Actually, shit, I should have included Flashlight by Parliament. That's my top six for sure. That song. I think I listened to that song for like every day for a year straight. Damn. And that's like a 7-minute song.
That's intense. Yeah, I mean, there's just... Yeah, there's a lot in funk that has been forgotten.
Funk is so good.
Like, all of, like, Sly and the Family Stones.
Oh my god, yeah.
Or, like, even Chic.
That kind of gets into disco.
Which
isn't a bad thing. Actually, we'll be talking about that later.
Later? We both just told us at our number ones.
I know.
I'm confused. Did you fuck this thing disco?
No.
Okay.
I feel like I spoiled it now. Should we just do this thing?
Well, it's not your fuck this thing. You just said it wasn't.
No, my fuck that. Okay, we can go back to like closing out our list. But my fuck this thing is anti-disco. People who hate on disco the past 30 years, because disco music's fucking awesome.
Yeah, so you just watched Boogie Nights, right,
or whatever? I just watched Boogie Nights.
Yeah, you just watched Boogie Nights. Okay.
Yeah, not a good movie. I don't want to defend that movie, but the music is fucking good. Disco music is a jam.
It's hilarious to me that he made Boogie Nights, and they're like, we need to make a country version of this movie, and they, like, did.
They did exactly that. It's hysterical. Oh my god. It is the same movie, dude.
I need to watch Boogie Nights. I've been not watching it, and then you gave your review, and I was like, well, I super don't want to watch it now.
But that opening scene, though, like, have you heard about the opening scene? It's, like, kind of iconic.
No.
He's, like, walking down the street.
I think I know, but, yeah, I'll watch it.
There's a reason why they made a remake of him, but country, you know? Like, it's a much better movie than Urban Cowboy. Yeah. In terms of, like, there are some really well-done parts about it, but, I mean, it's a pretty awful movie.
Plot-wise, yeah, it's...
Plot, yeah, everything else, but Disco's good.
Okay, so let's round out our top sixes. Mine at six, I put Cygnus Visman Cygnus, and then at number five, I put Echoes. At number four, I put Epitaph. At number three, I put Purple Rain. At number two, Heroin, and number one, 2112. And then, what were your top six?
I got Shine On You Crazy Diamond at six. Number five, American Pie. Number four, Heroin. Number three, Funeral for a Friend / Love Lies Bleeding. Number two, Won't Get Fooled Again. And number one, I Want You, She's So Heavy.
That's a perfectly great list.
Well, I recently learned that, like, calling somebody heavy meant cool. And for the longest time, I thought they were just being rude.
That's awesome. I love that. I love that you just thought that you were talking about like someone being overweight.
Yeah. And I liked the song back then, but now it's like, oh, I like the song and it makes sense.
It makes sense. It is not rude. That's that's hilarious. Like, because I'm just thinking of, like, what the song would mean then. I'm just thinking of the lyrics in my head right now, and it's... It does change it.
It does, and I was like... Like, why... Like, that's an interesting choice, you know?
Yeah. Man, that would be something. That's funny. Sorry, you already said your Fuck This Thing is anti-disco people.
Yeah. Dude. Or specifically the last 30 years of anti-disco hate towards
it. So, is there a lot of anti-disco hate now?
I feel like disco's kind of a joke.
Yeah, you're right.
Maybe it's the disco culture and it gets bled into the music. But I want there to be, like, I want it to be acknowledged. Disco music is good.
Yeah. Let's see, what Fuck This Things could I do? Man, Fuck This Thing. My Fuck This Thing would be, let's just, because I was gonna do something else, but I think I'm gonna stay with that theme. The anti-Rush people, I just think are
there anti-Rush people?
There are, man.
Why?
I don't know. I think like certain people, like I think it's the same thing. I think it's the culture thing. Like people who are around at the time, I think like Rush people are like Rush nerds almost. So they might.
Yeah, they kind of have an obnoxious fan base. Yeah, like stereotypically.
But 2112 is just a great time. I stand by that.
That's fucking good. And I have also heard like people complain like they're kind of just Led Zeppelin. You know, I've heard a lot of like
Their first album is.
Yeah.
Their first album is a Led Zeppelin riff-off album for sure.
But I think all great artists ripped each other off, you know?
Absolutely.
Like the Bob Dylan's first album is just Woody Guthrie, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to think of... I mean, like, the Beatles were, like, their covers in their first album.
Their first three albums, Until Hard Day's Night, and even Hard Day's Night is just, like, black rock artist, rock and roll artists from the 50s.
Yeah. Zeppelin, the same thing with blues.
Mm-hmm.
Their first album was right. I mean, they're like, one of their songs, they're like paying royalties to like Muddy Waters still because of one of their first songs. Yeah. They lost a lawsuit.
The Black Keys' first few albums were just the White Stripes.
Yeah. I would say, venture to say most bands. There's very few bands that were like original from the jump.
Velvet Underground maybe could have been.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I understand.
They're like the only ones I could think of. Other than that, like, yeah, most bands are like, they like a thing, and so they just do that the first album. And then they figure out what they're doing later. But yeah, the first Rush album, absolutely.
We're pro-stealing art on this podcast.
Absolutely. John Williams did an excellent job ripping off Gustav Holst.
And if you take away one thing from this episode, it should be that.
Yeah. I still have another example. I forgot it. All right. So I think that'll do it. This was a lot of fun. Next episode will be our 99th episode, which is insignificant. But the episode after that will be the 100th episode extravaganza extraordinaire. We are so excited. Well, one of us is very excited, and that person is not Noah. But it'll be fine. I'm honestly not that excited either. I don't know why we agreed to do this.
Yeah. I'm not gonna sleep for the week before.
Yeah, but this is an elaborate
tease. It might ruin me.
Yeah, it might be our last episode.
Yeah.
We still have to plan like some stuff around it, but we got the main part, and that's the important thing. So with that, and I wrote yours down this time. I'm not gonna let it happen again until next episode when I forget to write it down. So fuck anti-disco people and fuck anti-rush people.